Blog Talk Radio.
Oh, shalom! Welcome, my Patreon brothers and sisters. The East is where we're from. That's right, we're live. 515-605-9327. Come on in. Raise your hands if you want to talk about this epidemic of missing daughters of Zion. Come on. The 12 tribes of Israel. At gunpoint. In the belly of these great ships, we traveled in fear. By the rivers of Babylon, we found our brothers here. A higher God for us. That's right. The Most High gathering Israel. Come on. Asher. In Colombia. Reuben from Australia. That's who we be. The Negro. Benjamin, the West Indians. Levi. The Haitians, oh, yeah. Neptali from the Isles of Hawaii. He's calling us back. Yes, the North American Indian. That's right, brothers and sisters, the Most High gathering Israel. I'm Elder Rikar Shiar here with your weekly Patreon update. And I'm glad you're here because there will be a lot more content coming from this particular page outside of our weekly updates. All praises be to the Most High. We have old clips, other information that from our old teachings that can no longer be shown on YouTube. And yes, we're going to be uploading a lot of that content here even during the week before the updates, but I kind of like this setup the way it's getting done right now. But I'm just putting it out there so that you can look forward to this, okay? Now, real quick, what we don't want people to do is to be on Patreon and say, well, okay, it's Patreon, but then I can let something else go like the Academy, okay? It's not either or. What you get here is it's just weekly updates, but it's nothing in comparison to what happens in the Hebrew and Bible Academy. So I really strongly suggest that if you are Patreon members to keep, because it's only $5 a month here, folks, to keep your continual contributions and as long, you know, contributions and enrollment in the Academy. It goes a long way to help us do the things that needs to get done, all right? We didn't set up Patreon so that we can look at this and drop the other thing. So I'm going to be looking at whether or not the numbers here are affecting what we're doing in the Academy. I have to look at that because the Academy is really the A1 place in which you get everything. It's one-stop shopping for everything. It's the Hebrew. It's the news. And if I had to choose one over the other, it would be the Academy all day long. So, brothers and sisters, make sure you are enrolled in the Academy, okay? So here we go. Go. Hey. This conversation has been a long time coming. And like I mentioned on YouTube, our nation, men and women, are at fault, okay, with this epidemic going on. And what is it? That's right. the missing, let me put it here, the kidnapping of our daughters of Zion. Okay, right now our sisters are exposed out there with all this new technology. OnlyFans, they're joining that straight out of the gate, out of high school. Some are getting false identification and all that to set up accounts even before the age of 18 to expose themselves to strangers online, okay? For those who don't know what OnlyFans is out there, folks, like Patreon. If you join Patreon, I think it's, what, $5 a month for our updates here, right? Well, a person can go to OnlyFans and set up a subscription for OnlyFans, where if someone will, you know, want to witness whatever they're going to do, there's a certain amount of money for their subscribers, right, to pay to get certain activity or certain visuals, all right? Foot pictures, you know, the dancing that's done and all that. Conversation, one-on-ones, it depends on what you would like to pay is what you get on OnlyFans. And imagine a girl, 18, at her highest peak of attraction, really, getting that account and how much money they can make. And you got some perverts, satanic perverts, go from one 18-year-old to the next. One 18-year-old to the next. If they don't stop with this one woman they're paying, they got all these subscriptions out there, these rich freaks, seeking to lure one of these girls into a dark area to utterly destroy them. And folks, it's a pandemic. It's an epidemic, excuse me, of biblical proportion. I'm going to tell you, to a degree where, I'll tell you, the media has begun to pick up on this. That's right. There's a new documentary coming out that highlights the plight of missing black women and why their cases go ignored. But instead of going into why their cases are ignored, we should be really focusing on the underlying scenarios within our society that lead to our women becoming so vulnerable. But I digress. Fair use. Fair use. And I want to discuss what can we do to protect our sisters out there. All right. Let's go. Fair use. Our community matters, folks. But here's the good question. Here's a great question that no one might ask. Even the woman who's investigating the missing woman, even she doesn't have a man. Notice that? So they didn't move the Black Lives Matter movement from the man of George Floyd, the man George Floyd, being controlled under an LGBT agenda. And now they have swung the pendulum to women with the same LGBTQ at the helm of it. But I digress. It still doesn't change the fact that our sisters are coming up missing. But they're going to use these organizations to spin the narrative against bad men, to further separate our sisters from us. Oh, hey, folks, did any of you see men anywhere? So they would have us believe these people in front of us, the talking heads, are concerned with the plight of missing black women. Folks, I have something to show you real quick, if we may. Hold on. I have something to show you all. Right? Hold on. One moment here. I have something to show you. Let me finish playing this, but I'll bring that up in a moment. What's her name again? Check her out, folks. Okay, now let's check out this woman who's reporting. And let's see what is her true interest when it comes to the plight of our people. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. So Dad O'Brien. So Dad O'Brien, right? I need y'all to look at this, folks. Look who's reporting. Hold on. Let me get it here. Excuse me. One second here. Look who's reporting. Soledad O'Brien. CNN's Soledad O'Brien and Richard Sicardi's take Joel Osteen to task for anti-gay statements. For anti-gay statements. So this same woman, let me show you, this same woman right here is at the tip of the iceberg, I mean the tip of the spear for LGBTQ movement. When there's any LGBT thing going on, they pull her out. This is a gay movement when it comes to this is a gay agenda when it comes to highlighting black women coming up missing. Why? Because what they're not saying in this piece is that this is also affecting the lesbian community amongst black women who are coming up missing. Because why? There's no man. There you go. Here you go. The woman who's been put on task to report what's going on amongst our women coming up missing. Really, brothers and sisters, is an LGBT. Here she is. An LGBT shield. Now, she can't outright and say, well, if you wasn't dealing with this activity, you wouldn't be out there by yourself, because women were never put on this earth to protect one another. That your choice alone has done what? Left black women vulnerable and exposed. Now, you notice they start off the conversation concerning the people who are getting affected here, which are black women. Only midway through, now, this is a Democrat diversion trick here, okay? Straight diversion. They went straight from black women being kidnapped to women of color. So if any finances are poured into this to find our sisters, that's right. The pie will now be split amongst women of color, Chinese people, East Indian people. See? So even when it comes to the financing to help find sisters, who's going to be over that particular bag? You got it. LGBTQ and other races of women. And this is why sisters have to stop allowing these people to use them in order to destroy them. Right? So when you hear that woman of color thing, that lets you know how the finances will be distributed, or who would be actually over the finances for this particular initiative. Other races of women. They always use our women so that the white lesbians, and white lesbians are a minority too, okay? And they're going to be in control, and they are in control of all of this. And I'm going to tell you, folks, that agenda, the women liberal movement, was created by white lesbians. And they'll be over the bag to find the missing black women, okay? Knowing that the liberal movement is really the reason for the missing black women. Didn't I tell you? Now you can tell when you look in her eyes, she's crazed and radicalized. This woman is demonically out of her mind. Okay? Look at her eyes. Don't tell them what party this girl came out of. Check her out. You see it? Y'all see that? This woman is crazed. But let's go. There go the racial divide between black, that's right, black and white, so that our sisters can get on board with it. That's right. They do more so look out for white women compared to us. Not realizing it's these liberal nuts that have exposed you to come up missing. But they frame the argument to have our sisters side with it. Not giving what? A clear-cut solution on how to stop this. What about this? It's time for sisters to be under the authority of men. Find a man, stay with that man. And the chances of you going missing, that's right, exponentially lowers. That's first and foremost, the family structure has been broke down. All this investigation and all this other stuff to find out why law enforcement more so lean towards finding white women than black women. What about making a society where black women are protected or encouraged to stay under their men? See? But how they frame it. They frame it in a way where our sisters will side with the pieces that they're coming out with. Right? By moving the narrative to more people care about white women coming up missing than black women. And that shouldn't be the narrative. How do we protect our young girls from the womb growing up in a family structure that would have what? Them avoid these pitfalls that's usually pushed through the liberal movements within America and the Western world. That's the best level of protection for our sisters, God's protection. Right? Amen. Okay, another LBGT shield. So much attention. There's more. There is more. All right, let me turn down the volume in the background real quick. One second. I'll open up the calls for one in a moment, brothers and sisters. Just bear with me, okay? Bear with me. I'm going to turn that down for a moment. And let's go to some of the other articles here. The other articles. Let's go. Here it is. The meat of what I wanted to talk about today. The Sentinel, Los Angeles Sentinel. Epidemic of missing black girls continue to stump authorities and frustrate parents. And this came out in February 28, 2019. LaShea Shine, 16, was walking down the street alone in Aurora, Colorado. It doesn't appear that the young African-American female had any sort of trip planned, as she left her wallet and phone charger. And she didn't take any clothes. According to a television station in Denver, police released surveillance video of Stein taken on the morning of July 15th around 2:30 a.m. She is seen walking by herself in the area of East Mott View and Peoria Street. The video was sent out to the public a little over 2 weeks after her disappearance in hopes of generating more leads. Here's the Monique Davis courtesy photo, right? There's more. But here's the point. The estimated 75,000 missing black women and girls continue to stump law enforcement while frustrating and devastating families. It forces the question, does anyone care? NPA, Newswire reported to the alarming lack of interest in the cases of missing black females. Readers, including law enforcement, have responded by using social media to bring to light the host of African Americans and others of color who've gone missing. The social media accounts for the National Center of Missing and Exploited Children retweeted the NPA Newswire story and then accumulated a long thread of missing girls, some as young as a few months old. They began each tweet with, "Have you seen this child?" Among the missing are Tim Monique Davis, Moorhead, Minnesota, January 20th. Anya Washington, Houston, Texas. Rimani Williams, January 26th. Whitney Alisu, February 5th. Jada Cyrus, January 29th. Myla Abanda, November 16th. On and on and on and on and on. Look at this sister. Ravonna Anderson, gone. Baby, gone. Gone. Look at this. Gone. On and on and on, sisters are coming up missing. All right? They are coming up missing. One moment. Over and over. Now, let me tell you right now, I believe that there's a connection between these missing girls and social media and their callous use with this right here, the phone. Out there, naive, trusting everyone that's out there, giving people the benefit of the doubt, not realizing that they're targets. Our sisters have been targets since coming off of slave ships. And now some of these unhinged hillbillies and others, these criminals can have instant access to people that they would have needed to be in their vicinity in order to find these women. So the media can no longer hide this, but what can we do to stop it? Right? We're going to talk about that. Next, I want to talk about this, since we're here. Bill allowing teens to get vaccinated without parental consent passes the Senate right up under our nose yesterday, May 12th. Now, this is bad in of itself because a lot of chemical imbalances that lead to mental illness and all that can be developed through these vaccinations. Also leads what? Women into an area of vulnerability. Speaking of our young teens. Okay? And we have this here. Symbolism. The symbolism they use to drag our women out from amongst their hedge by making our women believe, brothers and sisters, that success comes with them outright being separate from their protectors. This is dog whistling at its best. Symbolism so that women can celebrate and say, you know what? We don't need a man. When you know what? The position this woman is in is off. It's evil, wicked. I'm going to talk about that. Because they're not just celebrating her being black. She's the first black woman, LGBT, to gain such a position of press house secretary. Gay black woman. See? Is who they're celebrating. Not a black woman using her power, education, and authority. That's right. To hold up and prop up her man. No, you can't use that authority for that. Your authority can only be used if you're married to a white woman or another gay black woman. This ideology, this indoctrination alone is leading our sisters down the wrong path to come up missing. The gay movement, the woman liberal movement, is why our sisters have gone missing. Now, let me read this again. Let me read this. I'm in the Bible. What does God say here? Jeremiah 31 and 20 and 22. How long, sisters? How long will thou go about, O thou backsliding daughter? For the Lord hath created a new thing in the earth. A woman shall compass a man. Now, some people got that confused to mean surpass. No, it's not surpass. It's compass. Compass is to revolve around or surround a border. Like an army. So you have an ideology of women against the men they are surrounding to destroy. Feminism. Feminism. To take away the image of God. I mentioned a few moments ago, brothers and sisters, this is the only way we can fix this is get things back in order. Because these women aren't letting go, even at the expense of losing their own lives and exposing themselves to be taken. It's time to bring back some order. I say that position alone showing this black woman in that position is embarrassing and shows failure that our people would celebrate such madness. And I know a lot of you out there, she got a job, she worked hard, she went to college, she did the hard work. No, that work was supposed to have been done for her to be a helpmeet and protect family and raise righteous and or virtuous children. Women aren't supposed to be in positions like that outright. That's not misogynist. That's not misogynistic. That's order according to God. What I'm talking is order. Let me go right. Why shouldn't she be in position like that? Let's go to 1 Timothy 2. Timothy 2. And I'm going to read the 22nd verse. Matter of fact, let me start at the 10th verse here. The 10th verse. In the Bible, it reads 1 Timothy 2 and 10, right here. I'm going to highlight it so you can follow it here, brothers and sisters, right here. But which becometh women professing godliness and good works? Let the woman learn in silence with all subjection. But I suffer not a woman to teach, nor to usurp authority over the man, but to keep silence. For Adam was first formed, then Eve. Women were never meant to be in positions that would do what? Give orders to men. It's against the earth's balance. Women aren't supposed to be celebrated in men positions. Doesn't matter your education. A man is not supposed to take orders from a woman. It's out of balance. And when the world begins to tilt out of balance, all sin tilts with it. All sin tilts with it. And that's why the Most High brought up Adam in the Bible. Adam was first formed, then Eve. And Adam was not deceived, but the woman being deceived was in the transgression. What was the transgression of Eve? Usurping authority over Adam. By getting the wisdom that came with what? The tree of good and evil. She went above her protector. So the only way we can surely save our women, our young daughters from getting kidnapped, and this falls on not just the woman, but the man too. We have to show our brothers and our sisters, the danger that came with the woman liberal movement and direct her to understand the success comes with her finding a good husband. That's her success. That finding a good husband is her goal, not this. What we see here is failure. A woman in position to usurp authority over the man, and it looks like it's okay because she's in a high position. But what man can tell her anything? What man would she actually humble herself under if she wasn't gay? This is failure. It's the wrong message for our sisters, and it's this message that are leading them to hell, leading them out there to be utterly destroyed, taken, put on the sex market and all of that with this level of messaging and symbolism. And it's upon us to teach the dangers of this, folks, and let our daughters know, success isn't you seeking to one day be the first woman, black woman president, and tell them these authoritative positions were meant for men in the beginning, according to God. It wasn't until the sin came into the earth where the hermaphrodites, that was part man and part woman and all that, began to have judge positions, that we've seen such behavior, tilting the scales, the balances of genders. against the original order the Most High intended with Adam and Eve. This is not an achievement, folks. This is the failure. And we have to teach our daughters against this and give our daughters the true goals. Your true goal to be protected unto the end is to what? It's to get a husband. Because there were better women before we were allowed to go to college. So there were better men. Less educated, but hardworking, who feared God. We can't be teaching our daughters that the achievement is to go to college to be above a man to usurp authority over the house. That's backward thinking. We have to teach our women what? And reward our women. Okay? Incentivize them to do what? To choose the right path for their lives' sake. We have to teach them that what they're pushing in the Western world isn't success at all. It will lead you out there by yourself. That's right. Miss it. Now, I'm going to show a few more things, but I see you all chopping at the bit here to get on with all these hands raised. So let me go to the calls real quick to have you all chime in on this discussion. Let's go to the calls. I see your hands raised. There's a lot of hands raised, so let me go there real quick. Now, there's some more scriptures I'm going to go to in a moment. 515-605-9327. I see you've been waiting there for a while. We have 757-205-912-206. Please make sure, folks, please make sure your hands are raised and that the background, that I'm not playing in the background, okay, when I pull you in, okay? Let's see here. Let's go. Make sure I have you. The kidnapping of daughters, of the daughters of Zion. What are we going to do about this? 757 area code.
Hey, Shalom, brother. How you doing today?
I'm doing well. Let me cut you up a little bit, okay?
Yes, sir.
Hold on. Let me cut you up.
Yes, sir. Take your time.
Okay, you're good. Thanks for calling in, brother, today. And come on, chime in on the topic. You always come with some poignant information. But what can we do about this? But give me your comment, your points about this,
yes,
because
sir.
It's an epidemic at this point, right? Let's talk about it.
It is. Absolutely. And and this is from my perspective as a young man, like I said, because I'm only 26, elder, but this is what I explained to sisters that are in my age group. It's a bait and switch that they hit you with. And because the issue that, like the Apocrypha says, the women, they abuse themselves with overmuch liberty. So what happens is you have this market to be system that's offering women the facade or the Hollywood production of the amount of power and liberty they'll have. We have all of these female characters they watch, like the Black Widows and, you know, the Angelina Jolie's and the Mr. and Mrs. Smith's. And they have this image of a powerful, independent woman that doesn't need a man. But the reality is, even the scriptures say that in the Testament of Reuben, that when a woman can't overcome a man physically, she'll try other ways. So then we get to the OnlyFans. then we get to the ways they try to overcome a man. But the reality is, when they meet some of these men in person that they met online, they still get overpowered physically, and now our sisters are in danger because they were sold a dream the entire time. The entire time they thought they were more powerful than these men and these predators because they used psychology. But when they met this person physically, they found out they was in danger. And they abused themselves through overmuch liberty, like the scriptures say. Now, I'm not saying this is the situation for all of our women. But the issue is, Elder, like you said, we're really in a society where women have compassed men. We're surrounded by the sisters with that feministic mindset. And for me, the only solution, Elder, is accountability from the woman and accountability from the man. Of course, the righteous men are stepping up. We have elders like you. We got brothers all throughout the four corners of the earth who have now heard the alarm sound. So we're all trying to step up. But our sisters must work with us. Christ said, two can't stand together unless they agree. So our sisters have to work with us. I think the only solution is for sisters to humble themselves and be accountable for adopting the mindset that they was taught. Now, brothers have to be accountable too, because a lot of us adopted this mindset also. But I think the only solution is for sisters to be accountable for that mindset that they adopted and say, you know what, I'm going to humble myself. I'm going to come back to my men, understanding that my man is my only protector. Even in the Art of War, when you read that book way back in the 1300s, it said that the way you destroy your nation is you take away the man as a protector, and then you teach the woman so you can teach the child for the next generation. Just like Willie Lynch did, making him a slave. So I don't want to talk too much, Elder. You know how I get. But it's just one of those things where our sisters have to be accountable for that mindset and humble themselves, because like you said, it is completely embarrassing to have not just a black woman in that position, an LGBTQ black woman in that position. She doesn't think she's good enough for a black man or a man. She thinks only a woman can handle her potential or her greatness, and that's clear by her by the decisions that she's made. So it takes humility, it takes accountability. I yield with that. I feel like I'm talking a lot.
Yeah. But let me converse with you a little bit, because you brought out a lot of good points that I like to touch on myself.
Yes,
okay.
Sir.
First and foremost, I see something going on with, the men are at fault to some degree allowing this to happen. But with the women's liberal movement, it seems as if men have been silenced when it comes to key discipline when it comes to at a certain age of our daughters, where we were told not to do this with our daughters as far as correct them, understanding that their behaviors would lead to promiscuity. Like for instance, I can say this. It seems like in our community, and I think we have to watch this, where there's an over-sexualizing of our young girls to the degree even the mothers will laugh and say it's cute and put things online that's airy, that's crazy. Showing their daughters twerking, putting on certain, and like a little girl dancing provocatively, and the mother is filming it and putting it online. And you wonder why sisters are coming up missing. I'm saying, why is it we're living in a society where women like that aren't chastised, not by the men, but are shamed outright by other women? You know what I mean? Understand, when my sister, I remember on Easter Sunday, my sister had on a white dress sitting down on the stoop Diamond Street and had her legs open. Wasn't thinking nothing about it. She was just sitting there eating something with her legs open. And my grandmom came and closed her legs and slapped her face.
Yeah.
Listen, men weren't doing the chastising that would make sure our daughters didn't grow up promiscuous. The women were doing the chastising.
Sir. That's an excellent point.
And you know what? Yeah, go on.
I'm sorry, Elder. But you know what? That makes perfect sense, because I noticed something. When I talk to sisters at my job, I'm always telling them that, you know, like, brothers don't care about the makeup, brothers don't care about these things. And their response always is, we don't do it for you guys. We do it because we set the standard for each other. They always talk about each other's lashes or each other's makeup or what color somebody else's foundation is, all these things that brothers don't even concern themselves with. So you make an excellent point that a lot of this, a lot of the responsibility, although the men are the leaders, it falls on the other women. Because like you said, women were setting that standard for each other. So that's, wow, Elder, you just blew me away. That's excellent. You just blew me away.
Hey, brother, listen, I've heard that before. We don't do it for men, even though we don't want none of this stuff they're doing. When they say we do it for other women, right? But this goes into the scriptures that the women shall compass the man. Because if they all are in agreement with it, then men have to choose from what they from the left, what they do together in agreement is what the men are forced to choose, because it's nothing left.
Absolutely.
Because the woman has compassion. So the agreement together is a protection measure. Check this out. You ever see those old Roman movies? And I seen this the other day, where the enemy is shooting things from the trees and compassing the Roman army, and they all come and engage in one and say formation and put their shields up because they're being attacked on every end.
Yeah, absolutely.
Right? It's the men in formation with our shields up. But the whole deal is, if they can agree together, then guess what? It limits the man's choice, because they're all in agreement together. So they do it for each other, so that now they can say, well, she does that, and no one has a problem with that. She does that. She can always put it off on herself, but it's an agenda to actually do what? Glory, God's status quo. As long as they're in agreement with it and have others, it's okay.
Absolutely.
I'm glad you're bringing this out there, because in order for us to stop our girls from being taken, the woman code must be broken. They must break it.
Mm-hmm.
They must understand the importance of standing with God and saying, well, no, I'm going to be in agreement with my man, not with all of these women for social standing.
Exactly. I was just about to say that.
For the sake of protecting my daughter, my daughter to see the example of what God intended. Not
exactly.
Me being on code with other women, okay, which is exposing her. Exposing my daughter to grow thinking that she can be out there without protection. I need to show her that example. But go on. You have the last word before I get to the next call.
Yes, sir. And it's always so profound. You have a gift, Elder, for explaining things, especially with the imagery, with the Trojan shield kind of thing, the way you explained it. Because
yes.
That's exactly what it is. There's a certain level of peer pressure that comes from other sisters that I've seen it firsthand, Elder. Even sisters that will tell a man privately, I don't like wearing all this, they'll still do it. And you ask them, why are you doing it? And it's the peer pressure from the sister. So like you said, that girl code must be broken, and they must hold each other accountable. So I'll yield with that. You explained it perfectly. And I think the best thing that I probably could do as a brother to continue to protect my sisters is walk in Christ and keep those laws, statutes, and commandments. Because Paul said, love your wife. So if that day ever comes and I find a wife, I'm going to follow those scriptures. And, you know, I believe any man following those commandments is already in the position he needs to be in to protect his woman, if it ever came to it. So I think our sisters, they got to break that code, like you said. I'll yield with that, Elder. Thank you for all you do. Shalom.
Shalom. Thank you. Very, very good call. A brother usually call with some serious insight every week. And I'll say this, man. The society we have, leaving our sisters exposed was the plan of the devil. And like I said earlier, people can say what they want about Kevin Samuels. I know it was provocative when he said you're going to die alone and all this other stuff. But outside of that, what he was showing was the vulnerability that's being covered up by other women. Because women know they're exposed out there. They know that there's no protection, but they're not willing to humble themselves for the sake of her man protecting them. They know it's out there. And what, since we said chink in the armor, that's what Kevin Samuels was putting out there, the chink in the armor, when it comes to this compassing, this woman code. He was telling men, listen, just because they agree on these standards, don't accept it. Let them operate with it by themselves. Don't accept it. Because they're going to be on code and bring you down to accepting all what you don't want, and it's immoral, when they should be seeking to the man to satisfy what the man wants in exchange for his protection. And that's why people didn't like him, because he was able to articulate that part. And when it was out there, other men started looking at it like, yeah, why are they in agreement with all this stuff men don't want? Why? Men don't want the hair. Men don't want the eyelashes. Men don't want none of that. They don't want the fake bodies. They don't want none of that. They want a woman. They want a woman who believes in God first and foremost, but is fit, feminine, and friendly. That's what a man wants. Why would a woman fight against that? See? Because that means they would have to do what? Set a holy standard that comes with obedience. The brother brought something out, and I'm saying this not to attack women, but to save sisters from coming up missing. They must be retaught. Because our girls grow up believing they need to become a part of what's encompassing a man. They need to take sides with women opposed to, that's right, the desired husband. The girls were raised to take the side of her husband. Period. Not be in agreement with other women against her protection. And that's how we break the chain to protect our women and have women know, listen, it's not about the finances all the time. It's not about the social status. It's about a good man that's going to be there when you need him. A good man. He may not have the social standing that you need to show forth your facade on Facebook or Instagram. He may not be this image that you can celebrate and all that and show forth, oh, look at my man. But he's a protector. And women are shame women out of relationships with a man that was at least protecting her. And now look what's up. That evil has crept down into our sisters in their teens and 20s, and our sisters are coming up missing every day. Next call, 773 area code. 773 area code. Let's talk.
Hi. Hello?
Yes. Can
Hello?
You please cut me off in the background? Yeah, cut me.
Yes,
cut the video
Hold
off
on.
In the background, please.
Cut
right.
it off.
Thank you.
Okay. All right. Yes, I wanted to comment on the women of the day, our young daughters. I grew up, had a father, and he was very, very strict and very, very stern. I was his only daughter with two boys. We were all stair steps, but his daughter, he didn't play with me. He was stern. He didn't play with me. He made sure that I went to school every day. He made sure that as a female, his daughter did what she was supposed to do. He made sure that he told me one day, and it stuck with me for a long time. I used to wear makeup growing up, try to wear makeup. And he told me one day, he said, Sandra, he said, you don't need that. He said, you're beautiful just the way you are. And from that day forth, I never wore makeup. Also, he made sure to the point to where when I was growing up and began to mature, he made sure that the undergarments that I had on the top was supporting myself. And not all over the place. So when I go outside, I didn't look unpresentable to different men, different boys. He kept me in line, and he didn't play with me. And he told me no. He didn't play with me, none at all. I loved him, but I feared him. So I know what it's like. And coming up, you made a comment, you know, growing up on the block, you know, used to be a time when you couldn't get it. You had two sisters, for example, and they couldn't get along with the mother. One of the sisters couldn't get along with the daughter because growing up, they mature and they get, you know, besides themselves. So the sisters would switch homes. You take my daughter, I take my niece. And they would help raise them, and they would be okay. You know, for some reason, they would go on and be okay. And also, the main thing I want to say is the problem is there's no fathers in the home. That's it. We were raised, you know, I grew up, my family were all well-to-do, females, college-educated, degrees, had money, doctors, lawyers. And they divorced their husbands when I was young. And I
I want you to articulate that, and I understand there's no fathers at the home, and we usually look at that, and not to absolve the men. But how did we get
Because
you have to develop an environment where a man knows that he's in position or in position to actually make the decisions for his family. No good man is going to stay in a relationship where he's continually demeaned and emasculated or told that he's not worth anything. So we always go into the man just leaving, but the standard for family staying together have always been on the woman. Understand what I'm saying. It's the woman to choose who to be with. Women can have many choices, and she chooses the man, and she can set the standards on whether or not she's going to give her love to this man and what would be required for her to give her love to this man. And if all women required marriage, it would set a standard. But how does the standard lower? If now can say the majority of women aren't married, so it's to a degree where it's acceptable now. That's how the bar's lowered.
Yes,
if everyone
I agree.
Else is doing it, the woman can pass the man. The shameful woman in the Bible come the norm. So all in all, not blank. We have 90 seconds before the call ends where we cannot take any more calls. If you're going to call in, I need you to talk. I need you to talk. Now, I'm not absolving men, but women raise the bar when it comes to marriage. If you're going to get with me, these are your requirements. She raises that bar. She raises it or lowers it. Right?
If she's a godly woman, she shouldn't lower that bar because God has standards. And if you live in according to the Most High standards, that bar should not be lowered.
But we're not talking about a godly woman. What we're talking about is women setting the class standards so high like it used to be that you can actually identify the woman without shame. And by default, she must move on your level.
Well, that's because I feel like that's the Kim Kardashians and the Lizzos and the whoever else. These lists goes on and on because they follow these people, and they're all out here half naked. They're all out here naked, not half naked. They leave nothing to the imagination anymore. Less is more is what they need to understand. I mean, more is when you put.
You're right. Sister, I'm going to ask you, though. What should women do concerning that now? What should women do understanding that it's actually destroying their image, the image the Most High intended for them?
Breakdown of the family. It's just a breakdown of the family. The woman don't have a husband. She's out doing all the work. She's coming home. She's tired. She's not cooking. She's going straight to bed. And if she has kids, small kids, she has to deal with them. And then she's going to bed. And then the older children suffer. If she has older children, they don't get attention because of the younger children. Therefore, she's tired. The older child goes out. She's on her own. It all has to do with the head breakdown of the family.
It's a vicious cycle. You absolutely, sister. I'm going to place you on hold.
And
great
so
call.
Now they're out.
It's a vicious cycle. I'm sorry I have to get to the next call, but I really want to talk about solutions here, right? It was a sister who called me, and I said that I may have her come on one of the broadcasts. I think she was from the Atlanta area, and she called in for, inquiring about baptism and all those things, and I said, I'm going to get you with Baruch and all that. And she told me she was into, the hair thing, the weave thing and all that. That was part of her business. And she says, Elder. And I'm like, yeah. I'm like, how do you like your job? She's like, it's good and all that. She says, but there's something that you didn't discuss on your program that you probably need to know that's being concealed. And I said, what, sister? Just, whatever it is. She said, you have to realize hairstylists now are more so seen as healers. They're viewed as healers. I'm like, what are you talking about? You're a hairstylist, cosmetology or hair. She's like, no. She says, I'm going to tell you right now, 80% of my clients, Elder Rikashi, are that come into my particular shop has alopecia. She said 80%. She says, I'm going to tell you this right now. I have a woman who's been a client and married for 10 years, and her husband never seen what her head looks like. She had long, she had dreads, and then she started putting stuff in her hair in the 90s and all that, and to the point it was pieces. So she became this woman who called in, she became almost an artist to be able to get the hair together that's left and make it where this woman is presentable for a husband who don't even know how she looks. And I'm bringing that here today to say the messaging amongst women when it comes to stuff like that is wrong. They know what they're suffering with, but they're not going to, as a whole, come together with their voice to dissuade other girls from experiencing what they feel with the shamefulness that comes with not having hair. Okay? And I'm going to tell you, man, it all is incompetence. I'm like, why can't she show a husband? And you have a whole lot of women who are now together with it and are encouraging other women so that they can now say, well, it's the norm. Many women are dealing with this instead of warning our sisters from that, from what happens if they don't take care of themselves and take care of their hair and honor their hair and know that it's the glory the Most High gave them for their beauty and to take care of their hygiene and take care of themselves. Watch not to put vaccines all up in them. Watch not to put birth controls and the ill effects that can have long term on the hair. It's up to the sisters to now break the code and tell our young girls what they're up against instead of everyone keeping it quiet. That means a beautician, a hairstylist, know more to how this woman looks than her own husband. It's time for sisters to break the code and say, you know what? This has been wrong. We've been twisted. They have separated us. We've been moved from our man. We've been moved from God. It's time that we obey and get all the way, both feet and body, under the hedge of God, stand the importance of our men. Next call. I'm glad you all in. Well, the calls are cut off, so I'm going to make sure no other calls can come in so I can go down the line, and we'll be able to put some of this on the main page soon. 432 area code.
Shalom, Melody. This is Brother CJ from the Dallas Buddy.
How are you, my brother?
Good. How are you doing today?
I'm doing good. We're going into the kidnapping of daughters of Zion. They're being left out there without protection, being given the wrong messaging, and all in all, coming up missing now because no one is actually guiding them towards the Word of God and giving them the image of what a family should be, right? Talk to us about this. Talk. Come on. Let's go with it.
So all the things that you've said from the time that I've started listening to you until today, the Most High just slowly but surely through the Holy Spirit has been piecing it together. Like, you'll say something, I may not agree with it that day or whatever the case may be, but slowly but surely it'll come to naught, that the things that you've brought forward. And
For example,
you would say something along the lines of portals. And I was like, come on, Elder, like, but then you went to Dragon and the Bell, and then I was like, wow, it's right there. So that's like,
okay. Okay. Well, let me tell you, brother, if it's something I don't know about, I'll say that.
Mm-hmm.
I only speak of things that I can back up with the word.
I realize that.
All right. Because let me tell you, I'm not too proud to say there's something I don't know. Many things you see out there, I'll be like, well, listen, that haven't been revealed. I don't know about that. And I'm not going to speak on things mm-hmm. I don't know. But if I talk about portals, know that they exist. It's confirmed in the word. Right, go on. All right. But go on. I'm talking about
the academy is on point. This was like when I was younger in the faith, but now that I've kind of grown to be patient to understand like what you're saying. Like, but it was a video. I'm pretty sure you probably seen it. Can I say names on this platform?
No. Go ahead, because we're here on Patreon. It's fine.
Okay. It was a video sent to me by one of my Jewish friends, and it was this rabbi called Rabbi Abe Finkelstein or something like that. And in this video. Yeah, he was talking about how they kidnap people, how they drink the blood of the people that they kidnap, and they use it at their Passover meals. And it was just wild because you had been talking about all this stuff, although I had never heard of it other than from you. Through patience and over time, it was brought forth through somebody that has no affiliation with the church.
Yeah, the Moloch sacrifice and drinking the blood that they put in their matzo balls.
Yeah, exactly. That's, he was talking about that. He was talking about what they do to the food, and how they call everybody Goyim, and how they I remember you also bringing that out too. How they allow us as Goyim to do the bidding and just do all the work, and they just reap all the benefits. They let our women go into the military and to be divisive towards their husbands. And the ones that they choose, they'll pick women out of our nation and have their way with them. And then I was just like, wow, this is crazy. And then for you to have this show today regarding about kidnapping, because I just watched a video like 2 days ago. It was an hour long, and it was very eye-opening, and I just wanted to call in and be like, the things that, for the people that's listening, the things that you say most of the time are, not most of the time, but pretty much that you speak on are things that are happening, whether they're coming from you as the elder of our church, but they are happening. It's just, you got to be diligent, and sometimes you may come across it or not, so.
Yeah, and I'm not saying some of these things to be right. A lot of things I put out there is to bring the reality to what most of us are naive about.
Mm-hmm.
We've been taught a certain image in how to actually perceive the world we live in. And really, really, this earth, this society is one big ritual.
Mm-hmm.
And it's time to shock our brothers and sisters into understanding what they know, what this really is, the greatest battle between good and evil. And our people rising from the grave, out of the ashes of total destruction, to oppose this wicked ritual we were born under called Babylon. And that's why I put it out there. Not to be right, but to shake and wake people up and let them know the reality of the world we live in. And to let brothers and sisters know that, yes, there's something we can do about it. We're not as weak as they would have us believe if we are together in number under with the right spirit to fight evil. But in order to do that, we have to connect the dots for the people. To slowly help them understand what's going on. This is David and Goliath. Okay? This is Samson against the Philistines. None of that have ever changed. This is the Israelites against Pharaoh. None of that has ever changed. All right?
It really hasn't changed. Yeah. Like, everything that you have pieced together through the Holy Spirit is right on point. Like, I used to think protection always meant physical protection. Like, oh, you got to protect your woman. Because me as a husband, protecting means every aspect of it. It means financially protecting my wife. It means spiritually protecting her from family, from friends, from thoughts, ideologies, situations, resource, food, shelter, raiment, all of those things. Those are all forms of protection. And by operating in the spirit day in and day out, it just kind of, just opens up my eyes to reveal more to me, like, okay, this is a situation where I need to step in, or, okay, this is a situation I need to fall back. You know, things like that. And I just really kind of, I thank the Most High for this ministry and the things that it is really truly a blessing just to have eyes to see and ears to hear.
Bless you, brother. Great point. I'm glad you called in. And there's another standard, another point of protection that you didn't mention. That and all of what you said is protecting on every level. Another form of protection is making sure that you have a standard for who your wife would be.
Mm-hmm.
A standard. There's a standard. If I'm going to be a righteous man, you're going to be a virtuous woman who fear God. Okay? Because we're in a world where a man cannot set standards for himself without being shamed or being called misogynistic or all these other names they'll put there so that we can accept less than what God intended for us. So another form of protection is setting a standard for a wife because the daughters are watching. And she'll become witness her mother is. So it's upon us to make sure we raise the standard for the women we choose so that the daughters coming up can have that example of the father setting the standard and the woman doing what? Being obedient and appreciative of that standard without being shamed into believing it's wrong to submit to her husband. Thank you, my brother.
No problem.
I appreciate it.
Shalom, Elder.
I'm going to keep you on hold. Shalom, and I'm going to go down the line. All right. Let's go to the next call. 205 area code. 205 area code. Shalom. You're live with the Gathering of Christ Church. We're going to go down the line. We're discussing the kidnapping of our daughters of Zion. They're vulnerable out there. What can we do to change the tide here? 205 area code. Okay, no one's there. 215, I'm going down the line. 912 is next. 912 area code. Shalom, you're live with the Gathering of Christ Church, 912.
Shalom, Elder Rakar. How are you today?
I'm blessed by the best. Your name and location, sister?
My name is Talathea Hodges. I'm a member of GOCC here in Atlanta.
It's good to I'm just speaking about someone called from Atlanta. But yes, the floor is yours. How are you doing, sister? You doing well?
I'm doing well. All praises to the Most High.
Fantastic.
This was a very interesting conversation for me today. And reason being is because I have been talking to some of the young ladies that I work with, as well as one of my best friends and my sister, about how I have noticed over the years the declining from my generation to the generation of my children, which are right at the top of the early, the end of the 90s, top of 2000.
Okay, can you get in one spot because it's going in and out. I don't know if you're moving around.
No, I'm actually sitting in one spot.
You're stationary. Okay, yeah, I'm sorry. Then.
Yes, sir, I am.
But it's fine. But go on. I'm sorry about that. I didn't know you were moving. Go on.
I apologize.
All right.
Just noticing, can you hear me?
Yes, you're fine now. It's not going in and out. It's good now. Thank you.
Okay. Just noticing, you know, the difference in how our young ladies has been reared by women over the last couple of decades. And looking at the young ladies that I see now, where I work,
an example of how they're being reared. Specify. What do you mean? Yeah, give an example of how they're being reared now, opposed to your upbringing, that have led to where we are now.
Yes, watching how I see a lot of women come in the grocery store where I work with their daughters, and their daughters are dressed like them. They are half naked. A lot of them, they have they're wearing the hair just like the full frontal wigs. They have the eyelashes on. They're wearing the nails, and these girls are like 12, 13 years old. We definitely didn't do things like that. We were not raised that way. But I notice how women are they hypersexualizing their daughters. They really are.
Mm.
I see it all the time, every day. It's heartbreaking to watch it.
Yeah.
But you asked the question about what it is that we can do, a solution that we can do to stop this from happening or whatever. I feel like as women, we have to be accountable for our actions, because a lot of us, we have allowed social media to go over our house. And the competition between women is definitely real, like what was said in the conversation earlier about how women do the things that they do. That's true. I see it all the time. You know, it really is true. I am a mother of two grown sons, and I'm also a grandmother of four granddaughters.
Congratulations.
My oldest granddaughter, thank you. My oldest granddaughter is about to be 9 years old. And when the lady was saying earlier on the call about how, you made a comment about how your sister was sitting on the porch and she just had her legs open. She wasn't really thinking she was doing anything, but how your grandmother came and closed her legs up. Or whatever, that's how I was raised. My mother and my grandmother, they didn't play that. You knew when you were a young lady, you had a dress on, your legs ought to be closed. I teach my granddaughters that. Keep your legs closed. I teach them how a young lady is supposed to carry themselves. But from what I see on a day-to-day basis with the women I see come in the store in just everyday life, women aren't raising their daughters like that anymore. They're not. They're really not. They're not raising their daughters like that. I was talking to one of my little coworkers that used to work with me. She's about 19 or 20. She saw me yesterday when I got to work. And the last time I had spoken to her, she moved out from her parents and moved in with her boyfriend. So I was asking her how she was doing, and she told me yes. But then she told me she had met another guy with him and his mom. And I was like, oh, wow. It just really did something to me, because this whole conversation that we're having today about our young ladies being missing, I'm noticing that a lot of parents are allowing their children to live with their boyfriends and girls as well. Coming up in the 70s and the 80s, that was not allowed at all.
Yeah.
You cannot do that. At all, period. Happening a lot. When my children were in high school, 10 to 13 years ago. I started noticing that that was happening. Because I've been living here in Atlanta going on 16 years. I'm a native of Savannah, Georgia. And I had to learn a lot of the culture here. And Atlanta was so totally different from I come from in Savannah, Georgia.
Well, sister, your phone is breaking up again. So, but you brought
a lot
of things that I'm going to talk about. That's fine. I'm going to place you on hold, but I do want to make some points while you're on hold, okay?
Okay.
Okay. And she brought out, she highlighted a lot of things that can help us. First, it comes with accountability, right? She mentioned that. And I thank you for doing that. That's acknowledging that something is wrong that's leading to our daughters getting exposed to a degree where they can be taken without any care in the world. Okay? So accountability. She mentioned that. And to me, she talked about it's nothing for a mother to walk into a store or a public area dressed provocatively with her younger daughter, with the eyelashes and things like that. But that's nothing new to some degree, because when coming off the slave ships, there was a thing where they would take a certain number of the daughters to groom them to be bed, what they would call bed wenches at the time for the master. So they would groom the daughters into some level of normalcy and thinking being promiscuous was normal. And it would groom girls from a young age. And really what we see in a nutshell is the engineering on a mass scale of the mammying that occurred during captivity, where they would have one mammy over the house who did the bidding of the master, and part of that was taking a segment of the women, preparing them for as bad women for the men, for the white men. Now that's done another way, a whole other way. It's been socialized to make it where you can groom your child in public now to be predatorized, okay? Make her a sex object for grown people to lust after without shame. It's called mammian engineering. And I'm going to tell you this. This is why the Bible says this. Ecclesiastes 26:9 reads, "The whoredom of a woman may be known in her haughty looks and eyelids." So if the women have the eyelashes on, that's signaling to good men who she is. I don't care what that is amongst the women and who does it now, because so many people do it, right? That it become normalized. To men who understand the Bible, that's messaging. And here's the message. The whoredom of a woman may be known in her haughty looks and eyelids. Women already develop at a certain age and garner some level of sexual attraction in their teens. And then they put on the woman stuff with the eye, and then they put the tight stuff on, and the predators, and I'm talking about professional predators, are on it. If the parent can allow their daughter to walk around like this, then guess what? She's primed for the predator. That's how he sees it. You have actually cultivated and groomed her to be taken, to be lusted after, right? Then it tells us in the Bible, if thy daughter be shameless, that means she leads with her sexuality. Keep her in straitly, lest she abuse herself through overmuch liberalism. That's right, the woman's movement. That's right, the woman movement engineers mental cases. That's what it does. It gives women what? An alternate, what you would call, the Bible calls it a reprobate understanding relations to a man should be. They become reprobate in their mind and devalue giving their body over to others. And with which each man she connects with, something, that's right, a screw get loose. By devaluing it from one man to the next. Okay? And it says right here, if thy daughter be shameless, keep her in straitly, lest she abuse herself through overmuch liberty. Watch over an impudent eye. A girl that's walking around, pulling her dress down and looking around, she's trying to see who's looking. This is how she get her catch. She'll pull the skirt down, looking around with her eyelids back and looking around, and she's trying to see what man has taken a gander, a mark. It says, watch over an impudent eye. She's looking around for the mark. Who did she catch? And marvel not if she trespass against thee. Marvel not that, guess what, when things aren't working out, don't be surprised when she's looking for someone else. See why they took the Apocrypha out of the Bible, brothers and sisters? Right here. You think the Christian church right now can teach the chapter I'm talking about right here? Without the church closing down? Because the majority of women that are out of order runs the church now? She will open her mouth as a thirsty traveler when he has found a fountain and drink of every water near her. Let me fly over here. Let me go over here. Will you fly me in and do what? Come up missing. But every hedge will she sit down. She don't have a hedge of her own. She's going, a man is a hedge. She's going from one man to the next, not realizing one day. That's right. There's a poster at the police station asking, that's right, have you seen Tawana? And will sit down and open her quiver against every arrow that's opening herself to every man, not realizing the long-term demon possession and psychological damage that comes with that activity. So it's upon us to get in front of it and call it shame. Knowing at the end of it, when she grow old enough to understand what she did with her life, that's even more damaging to her. When she realized she wasted the best part of her life, when she could have been finding God and seeking a good man, which is really the true success for a woman. Next call, 305. I mean, I already had 205. I already had you here. Let's go to 206. Shalom.
206. Hello, can you hear me?
Yes, ma'am. Your location, your name and location. I'm sorry about that.
Okay, I am in Seattle, Washington, but I'm baptized out of Houston, Texas. Okay, what I originally wanted to say, okay, the Bible is already written. What's going to happen is already written. The law, statutes, and commandments, it is what it is. Okay, when you said that the daughters of Zion are missing, can't nothing happen on this earth without being ordained by the Lord? What's going to happen is already written. Okay, and so far as when women need to be...
Let me correct one thing when it comes to that thought.
Okay.
Because other people may interpret it. Other people may determine that, may interpret that as a predetermination according to God.
Okay.
But it tells us in the book, in the book of Colossians 1:28, whom we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect to Christ. So that's including the woman. Even though there's a judgment coming and things are written, Man and woman have free will to choose either path.
Absolutely.
That's not what I'm saying is that's not predetermined. That's a choice. So we have to warn people regardless of knowing the outcome is what I wanted to put out there. But go on.
Okay.
And I'm doing that to edify. Go ahead.
Okay. The way the Bible is written, it is the way it's going to be. Okay, you can be a righteous woman and do everything that you're supposed to, and bad things still can happen to you.
Yes.
So
yes.
When you say, why do you think the children, the daughters of Zion, is coming up missing?
Yes.
Well, It's different elements of why they might be coming up missing. But I don't think nobody that's coming up missing, it wasn't. Okay, I know the world is set up that can't nothing on this earth happen unless the Lord let it happen. And as you
let me
know,
ask you this.
Like,
hold up. Sister, let me ask you this.
Yeah.
When something bad happens to our people in the community, are we, to some degree, at fault for that?
It all depends on the individual and what exactly happened. That's just like if you take a woman that might live in a neighborhood that might not be too friendly, and she could be a college student, or she could be a woman that goes to work every day, and she might even be one that catches the bus, and she can be a normal woman or just a pretty woman just minding her own business. Because I don't know if you remember that case out of New York when this woman had went into a little convenience store just minding her own business, but I think it was about four or five black guys that was hanging out in the front of the store.
Hold on, sister. I'm glad you called. And I'm going to tell you why I'm glad you called. Because we needed this type of discussion. Because it's these views at no fault of your own that will allow these scenarios to continue. And I'm going to tell you why. Listen to me clearly. We're not talking about outliers here. What we're talking about, the statistics are saying one-third of the women that are coming up missing are of a certain demographic. And I gave an example with one of those people that doesn't fit into an outlier or an exception to the rule. These are regular people in our communities that are coming up missing that are not exceptions. So something is going on in our community that's allowing the predators to have a greater access to our sisters opposed to other races of people. So let's not look at the outlier. Let's examine what is. Listen, the only way to fix it, listen to me, no but, only way to fix it is to focus on what is. What can we do? Listen, what can we do to help those or to bring accountability to those who are not the outliers in certain circumstances when no one can get to them because the Most High or it was predestined for them to fall that way? That in its sense, sister, is a hopeless position to be in. To say, okay, God intended it. It happened because of God. So you know what? Let me just keep on doing good and everything is fine. That's skirting accountability. And we don't have these programs for that. We have the programs, even though the Most High said that these things would happen, we have these programs so that we can have the discussion on what we can do to stop someone from falling to such fates. That's what this program is about. It's not. You understand that? Let's talk about if you could do something, what would that be? To help
Elder,
you?
I'm 100% for accountability all the way across the board, but particular people in every other nationality of people have been having their ways with us, our men, women, and children, ever since we came off the boat. And having nothing changed, we have always been the number one that has been destroyed more than any other people on this universe.
I understand that,
and
sister,
that
but did you hear my question?
Changed.
Sister, I'm asking you, did you hear my question?
Yes, I did. The thing
okay,
of it
that,
is, my thing
okay,
of it is.
I got to put you on hold. Sister, I'm going to have to put you on hold if you overtalk me asking you, did you hear my question?
Yes.
Okay, what was my question?
The question is, so far as like going forward, what can we do to whereas we are not a person that keep on coming up disappearing?
No, that ain't my question. My question is, if you could, what could you do if you were in position where you live to help this not go on? What can you bring to the discussion that can help others who hear this, a sister who might get taken somewhere, avoid it happening? That's the question.
To avoid it happening? That's just like when you get in Uber. Who to say that that driver might not take you somewhere? So I don't believe, I think you can be as cautious as you feel like you can be.
Okay.
Self-defense, everything.
Yeah.
You know, self-defense, gun range and everything, you know, be alert. You
good.
Know, just think. Because you know,
okay,
every
good.
Time we get into these Ubers, you know we don't know these people. Every time we get in
well,
these Uber calls.
It's just, why don't we do this? Encourage a hedge, a man. I'm going to place you on hold. Encourage a hedge. That's number one, right? Encourage a hedge and encourage relationships staying together. Okay, because again, these are outliers. Uber, someone living in the suburbs, away from everyone else. These are things we can't do nothing about. And I think that's the issue. When it comes to solutions, we always tend to look at the outlier, the things we can't do anything about, as a reason to sit on our hands and do nothing. All right? But thanks for the call anyway, because it showed another dynamic of why it's so. 609 area code. Shalom.
Uh-oh. Shalom, Elder. Thanks for taking my
Shalom.
Call.
Shalom, how are
driving,
you?
So I hope I'm well. I hope it's not too noisy in the back.
Oh, no, it's fine. Just make sure your windows stay raised and we can talk. We're counting down to the next few phone calls. We got 3 or 4, and then that concludes it before we actually go into the Sabbath. I'm hungry. I got to eat, so. All right, 609, give us your name. You're from New Jersey, right?
Yes. So my name is Sister Arlette. And in listening to everything, I believe that the education that we have been given, as a part of this society, the curses, everything that we've experienced, everything that we have grown to think is true, to understand what is real, but these are the curses that we're experiencing, the lies and everything. I think one of the greatest solutions is actually being able to understand the truth. A perfect example is when you were playing the videos, and you were, you know, the sister was talking about how, you know, she's trying to help and, you know, how, oh, it's such a great idea. The news reporter was like, this is a very important story, you know. Until you gave the perspective of what you were trying to help us to see, I understood, yeah, you know, yes, we should try to help. And, you know, that's how I saw it until I heard your analogy of what it was that you were trying to communicate. And then I was like, oh, that does make sense. You know, even with the knowledge of the truth, you know, there are still things out there that we are trying to improve upon, our knowledge and our behavior, making changes and trying to be the better, you know, so we're not falling behind. You know, having the wisdom from the Holy Scriptures and, you know, being able to focus ourselves away from the culture, the society, the world, it's tough. And, you know, like one of the sisters was talking about the over-sexualization of the children. I see that every day. You know, the little girls very exposed and they don't know it and their moms don't know it because they're overly exposed, because they don't understand the truth. because the laws tell you something is good that is against you, and they think it's true, that it is good for them. You know, so there's a lot of accountability that will come with greater knowledge. How we perceive our husbands, and, you know, most of the lies and the wicked and evil that we've seen done to our brothers and sisters, our brothers, our husbands, our, you know, our male half, we feel it. We even without the truth, you know, okay, this is wrong, you know. But it does take time. It takes a lot of time as far as, like, knowledge. I believe one of the greatest things that if we do have some wisdom is to share with a person that does not know, and in hopes that they'll be able to receive understanding, use it, you know. But it is going to be a struggle because, again, if you've been told something your whole life, and your mother was told that same thing her whole life, and the mother before that, there's a generation and another generation and another generation, you know, so it's going to be hard to break these barriers without knowledge, without giving the example of what's right, without having the example of what's right, and without using the knowledge once you get it to start making changes. And I'm glad our husbands.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'm glad you brought that up. Let me ask you a question. Let's just talk about black women, since we were discussing black women coming up missing, right, the daughters of Zion. Do you think the black woman truly understands her power in this earth?
No. She doesn't.
You know what?
Also,
I'm glad you said that, because women are powerful, especially the black woman, in ways that she don't even understand. The black woman has such power that if she was under her man, it would save our nation. That's how much power she has. The Bible talks about that virtuous woman, that woman who go out and buy a field and all that, and her husband is known amongst the nobles because she works, but she works with an intention of legacy. Also, I'm going to show you how powerful the black woman is. The black woman, if she wanted, could end the LGBT movement instantly if she was to disassociate herself with it and speak against it outright and say they're taking all of their power and going to put their power under the black man. They could no longer use the black woman as a cloud or as as the guise of liberty to bring all the other things under. If she got rid of the lashes, rid of the hair, we would know what an outright trans looked like without trying to hide himself within the frame of a black woman. See, this is, I used to wonder, what is this strange connection between the black woman and gay? But they're being predatorized on a social level by the gays, because this is how the gays get access, if they are accepted by any of the two, the black man or the black woman. And if we can have it with the shade, the eyelashes and all that on, now the trannies can disguise themselves amongst our communities without being outright figured out. If a black woman pull all of her power and say, we're not down with no women liberal movement, all of our power is for our men. And what happens to the women liberal movement? Because they need the numbers of black women to push a constituency. And this is why they do what? Pacify black women with symbolism so that they can use their power against us. And it's a shame that our sisters don't know their power, because they have enough power to change everything. If they were to do what? Give that, if they were to give that power to their man. All of what you do is not to get degrees, get up in the position before the White House, to have social status to compete with your man. No. All of my power is to uphold, that's right, the true kings of the earth, the chosen people of God, to show him in a strong position, even in areas he's weak. I'm his strength to show forth the power of my household by the status of my man. That's my power. Sisters got more power than they think. Why do you think the Democrats and all that look to pacify and all that black women? Because they fear our women using their power like they once did for us. But go on, I'll give you the last word.
I mean, I agree with what you're saying. I think, again, wisdom is important, having knowledge of how to do certain things. And I'm not using just, you know, the scriptures. It does point to having no wisdom or being, you know, without wisdom, you are being destroyed. And that's a fact. You can basically look and see the, you know, the environment, the people, the way that they do things, the way that they're, you know, focusing themselves. When I was a teenager and I lived in New York, I was walking on the street 3 o'clock and had no fear in the middle of the night, you know. And thinking back, you know, wow, several different things could have occurred. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But not thinking that you're going to be the next victim, or not, you know, feeling a false self of safety, maybe, or thinking that it would never happen to you. You know, it's unfortunate that, you know, some fathers are not there. You know, my father was like my hero. It is because of him why I feel and know who I am. You know, and then when the truth came, it was even greater.
Let me ask you that though. With people knowing, with a woman knowing that a father is not around, shouldn't that make her that much more cautious?
It should, but it doesn't mean that it does. It means that they're still going to be, you know, they're going to be exposed to what they're available. Exactly.
No, I'm just saying, because on one side, it's because he's not there is why I'm vulnerable. Well, if you know he isn't there, shouldn't there be more caution? And shouldn't there be because don't tell me a mother doesn't know that dressing her daughter up sexually and provocatively isn't wrong. So there is some level of conscious sin and behaviors that are going on amongst our communities that we could, amongst individuals that can be fixed. You know, outright, that they don't need the knowledge and the programming. We're not, our women and men know when they're doing wrong. Right?
So I don't want to absolve.
I know what the messages are out there, but when I read these scriptures, when it says a whoredom of a woman may be known in her haughty looks and eyelids, that's intentional. That's regardless of what society has taught them. People do things to gain advantage.
That's true.
Men and women, and they know right from wrong. And it's time for what? Us to be honest in these scenarios. That's all I'm saying. All right?
Yeah.
Accountability.
It's important.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Have a good afternoon.
All right, thank you.
Shalom.
Bless you. Great Sabbath. All right. 734 area code. You got three more, and that's it. 734 area code.
Hello,
you're live. We're dwindling down to the last couple of seconds, so I'll give you a little time, but yes, you see what's going on? It's becoming an epidemic at this point. That's right. The daughters of Zion are getting taken, right? They're kidnapping the daughters of Zion. Let's talk about it. Do you have anything to say on it?
Yes, I just have a couple of quick points. One of the things that I want to say is very true what you're saying in terms of the women encompassing the man, because really all around the messages that we're sending to young women is that they do not need men. And one part of that, for far too long, we've been letting the lowest denominator type of women define us as a whole. And part of that, and part of that is in embracing stripper culture. And I think that is one of the main problems right now, is and one of the reasons why a lot of these young girls think it's okay to dress provocatively, just because it's promoted so much. So that's on one part, one side of it. And then on the other side, and then on the other side of it, in terms of, you know, women that we encourage to go to school, we don't encourage young women to get an education, to empower their family, to empower the nation. We encourage young women to go to school to promote their own independence. And I think that's a major problem. In my family, you know, was always encouraged to go to school to get an education, but it was framed in a way, well, you need to get an education so that you don't have to rely on the man. And, you know, my parents were very well-meaning because my mom, she definitely taught me about being feminine, about, you know, definitely heard as a child, oh, close your legs and things like that to promote being a feminine woman. But just when it came to education, it was all about being independent. And so, you know, basically all around, it's like, okay, if you come from a lower rung of society, well, you can use your body to be independent over a man. And then on the other side of it, it's like, okay, well, you can get an education to be independent of a man. So it's basically just kind of just talking about how you were saying that women are encompassing men. It's just from every angle. And so one of the things that, because you were talking about solutions, I would say we need to get out of the whole notion of being independent of men. And one of the ways we can do that is by listening to men and what they want and what they're telling us. And you know, plenty of callers have talked about that as well. So, you know, I don't want to necessarily repeat what they're saying, but we need to listen to men, and that goes with being accountable and being humble. And that's all I have to say. Thank you.
And I'm going to tell you, the society, sister, will tell you in a minute, immediately to feel good with someone on your side, sisters on your side saying, listen, you can do better by yourself. How could he be this, that, and the other? And you know what I mean? And to coax a woman into being out there like they are, right? But then at the end of the day, when that woman lose that good man, and then there'll be regret, because why? She'll realize she'll grow past that moment of hurt or whatever and realize, man, the man I let go listening to other people was the one.
Definitely.
Right?
And by then, a lot of times.
Now, listen, now there are exceptions to the rule. There are people, because you know, their looks or whatever the case is may get them a proverbial another bite at the apple, right? but when you look at the percentages, when you're in your prime of your life and you get a good guy, you get someone who, you know, will protect you, provide for you, and love you. And I see, and hey, would you, can you imagine yourself in the dating landscape of what's going on out there today, where everyone is swiping to find a person to be with? How low the bar has been moved. You understand?
That's cool.
All in all, I'm glad you brought out that some of the solutions of being, hey, we have to be patient. We have to more so look at, mix that education to a degree where we're leveraging that education off to compete with our men when other people doesn't operate like that. They're married and swooped up even if they have a degree. So
yeah.
It was
just to land back off of that, like when I was in college, me and my friends, we would kind of laugh at the women of like other nations because like we would say, oh, well, they're there for their MRS degree because like they obviously would be there to marry a man. But you know,
that's it.
Yeah.
And you know, when colleges were first set up, that's what they were set up amongst the Ivy League and all that. They would send their daughters there to match up with the next leaders of society. It wasn't so they'd get a degree to compete with the white man. That's something that happened amongst us. You understand? Mm-hmm. And guess what? And I'm not shunning or discouraging someone getting an education. But you don't get no education as a fallback plan for if your relationship doesn't work. You find God and understand the purpose of family to make it work. Okay? That's what you do. You don't, well, in case it doesn't happen. Who want to go into a relationship, you know, with one foot in and one foot out? You're in a relationship and saying, you know, I've got this in case you don't work. That's not a relationship. You're not even in it with both feet. So I'm glad you brought that out. It's about trust, and it's about understanding that marriage, all in all, is a long, guess what? It's not a Harlequin novel. It's not all it's cooked up to be. There's no one getting on a horse and riding into the sunset.
Mm-hmm.
It's a struggle with the man and woman living with the curse of Adam and Eve, but understanding the legacy they leave at the end of it if they're willing to get through the rough parts. But I digress. I know I digress into someplace else. You have anything else before I get to the next call? I only have two calls left.
No, that was it. Thank you very much for taking my call.
Well, thank you, and bless you. Have a great Sabbath.
You too.
All right, great call. I'm sure I'm going to piece that up and put that up because there's something good, some good stuff in here. A 313 area code.
Good afternoon, Elder. How are you?
I'm doing well. Your name, I see it looks like you're from Detroit, correct?
Correct.
Okay,
my name is Nikki.
Okay, Nikki. I think you called before. Go on.
Yeah. Like I said, I was led, but the Most High did the rest.
Yeah.
Okay. I was calling in, listening to what you put out here today, and I, as myself, I'm a daughter of three girls.
Yeah.
My father has been more of my guidance. Keep your body, educate yourself, have your own until you have a husband. It was certain things, and you're good enough, and your image is everything, even till this day.
Yeah. Okay.
So to answer, what I believe answering the question, just in my opinion, is I think when we can put a narrative together, yes, we've all been out, you know, we've all been amongst the world at some point in our life with the curse of Adam and Eve. But if we, as a people, collectively put together a narrative to these, you know, to our young girls, including my own daughter that's, you know, out here in the world, but I ain't let my hand up off that one because the Most High will prevail, okay? And I still correct when you're not in my eye.
Okay.
My hands aren't off.
That's good.
But as a narrative, you know, hey, look, I understand, you know, what it's like to be out here. I understand this is what you're looking to do. You're beautiful. You keep reminding them. Keep planting. There's still the ground. There's still our future to come. It's not too late to keep planting seeds. You're beautiful. Despite of whatever the women before them have been through, still plant positive seeds. You're beautiful. You know, she just had a situation, just real brief. She knew who to call. She called me, but she also called the men in her life, period.
Yeah.
And it activated as the Most High had it to be. She knows who she's protected by, the Most High first. But there's men that I made sure that every man in this village, in my village, she knows she's protected. She knows I'm protected.
Good.
So to give her an idea what that looks like, to show her what that looks like, I've been a divorced mom. But I still don't say, hey, look, I can do bad by myself. No. It's you stronger as a unit than you are by yourself.
Yeah, that's true.
So don't get me wrong. We get our ups and downs. You know, the world can get at us from all different ways. From our, you know, from our peers, from our family, from, you know, life situations. But as long as we, like you said, as long as we stay focused and keep the Bible ahead of us, and, you know, I believe God gave us the Ten Commandments, and as long as we stay in those in that parameter of those things, lying, not coveting, not stealing, and all that applies to what's going on in the earth, and that applies to the image.
Thank you.
But I'm, I digress.
You,
okay.
Right,
you have
that's a good point.
You have a
good
Sabbath.
Thank you.
Okay.
You
have
too,
a good
sister.
Day.
All right.
Uh huh.
Thank you, sister. And I'm going to expound a little bit before I go to the next call. We have 443 area code, and I'm glad she brought that out because, hey, you know, there is an unfortunate situation where relationships doesn't work, and there are points where a woman may not have a husband, but she still put protective measures in place to make sure the fear of God is taught, that when the child leaves the home, they still have that understanding, that hedge of who God is and who Christ is to them, even with a strong mother without someone. On top of that, she makes sure there's strong male figures in their lives that they can call in instances instead of calling strangers and depending on others who may lure them out to be destroyed. Building that network of strength and security that leaves with the child to know, yeah, I'm out here. I'm vulnerable out here, but there is lifeline. There is a protection mechanism that was put in place through community, according to God. So I'm glad that she brought that point, right? Okay, everyone don't have the luxury of having a husband. I'm speaking of women in particular. But still, we can look forward to, okay, how do we compensate until the Most High bless me with one? Okay? How can I make it where my daughter's out there, that there's a male figure that they can link into, whatever the case is, that I trust can guide them back to me? Good point, sister. All right, 443 area code. I don't know if this thing going to cut off, but I'm going to try it. Okay, unfortunately, it seems as if the episode has ended. Hello? 443, you hear me? Okay, the episode has ended in preparation for the next episode to come, okay? With that, we're going to leave this off with this scripture here. It says outright, blessed is a man, Ecclesiastes 26 and 1. Blessed is the man that have a virtuous wife, for the number of his days shall be double, and a virtuous woman rejoiceth her husband, and he shall fulfill the years of his life in peace. A good wife is a good portion, which shall be given in the portion of them that fear the Lord. Whether a man be rich or poor, if you have a good heart toward the Lord, he shall at all times rejoice with a cheerful countenance. And it all goes back to what? The man and woman coming on par with God together to protect our family. And through that hedge, we as a nation can endure it until the end to protect not just the men, but our women and our sisters, and get them back under the head so that they're not taken, okay, under this wicked system. So it's upon all of us to become accountable and put it out there, the word of God and the true order according to him, to get our families together, our daughters together, our sons and our daughters together. That's right. In order to protect the daughters of Zion from getting kidnapped out there, they must be hedged from on high, which starts with us, the man and the woman, working together. With that, I'm going to say shalom. You have a blessed evening, a great Sabbath, and I'll see you all tomorrow afternoon. Shalom. Keep in mind, the Most High is calling back the children of Israel. Shalom.